Oh, yes. Amen. 2 Corinthians 2 and 12. Ooh, glory. I got something I want to teach you. I'm telling you, I went a totally different direction. I thought I was going one way when I got home today, and it just went totally, totally another direction. So stay with me if I kind of stumble around a little bit, because I had to put this together pretty quick. 2 Corinthians 12 and 2, Paul writes, and we're going to come back to all of this setting, but just as a text, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. In parentheses, he says, whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Only God knows. I cannot tell if I was awake or not awake or asleep or unconscious or conscious. I don't know. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. I want to preach tonight and teach about a place called caught up. A place called caught up. Lord, I ask for understanding to come to the listeners tonight. I ask for you to help me to articulate what you've given me that we might understand. For God, if we don't understand your word, it doesn't do any good. It's got to be made flesh where we can understand it and then walk out what we understand in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Amen. You may be seated. There is a space. I'm going to teach for a while. Now, there's a space between heaven and earth. And one thing I like about what we believe here tonight is what I believe salvation is based upon is an experience. An experience. Not a handshake, not a membership, not any of those. It's based upon an experience with the Spirit of God. So there is a space that is between heaven and earth, and sometimes, I'm talking literally now, we call it the sky. You can only see so far, and then it keeps on going. But I'm just right here on earth, my eyes can only see so far. But there is a space, the Bible says, he put a space between the firmament above and the firmament beneath, so that we have heaven above and we have earth beneath. And between heaven and earth is a space we call the atmosphere, right? It's the atmosphere where things go on, the storms, and boy, there's another one brewing, right? It's going on. And that's happening in the atmosphere. But listen close, and I'm going to teach you. You've got to hear this tonight. What goes on in the atmosphere affects what goes on earth. What happens in the space between heaven and earth affects what goes on earth. That's right. And so there is a space that's between earth and the place we call heaven, and we call that the unknown, the great unknown. In a spiritual sense, there is also a space between here and wherever heaven is, right? We can relate to this, and we got God's Spirit, and we're trying to relate to that, but the between us and God is the atmosphere. And that's why when we come to church, we try to create an atmosphere to entertain the Spirit of God. This is where you ought to be able to put your antenna up, and the atmosphere would be conducive for you to get good reception from what's going on in heaven. But it is the devil's job to create a bad atmosphere so that you cannot receive the things you should receive on earth from heaven. Or I'm already preaching. Because what he wants to do, he can't take your soul. He's not in charge of your life either. But what he can do is create chaos. When the Lord came, he looked and the earth was void and without form. Chaos. And so what the Lord did, it was he separated these things out so that now there's a space between wherever God is, except for, of course, he sends his Spirit back to us. But I'm talking where Christ is now, you know, that heavenly place where you say, I want to go to heaven when I die. There's a space between there and us. And I'm calling it the atmospheres, the great unknown. We know more. Listen close. We know more about heaven than we know about that space between heaven and earth. We know gates of pearls, mansions, all this kind of stuff. Some of that, of course, is figurative, not literal. I understand all that. But we have more record about what's in heaven than we do the space between heaven and earth. We've been pretty much limited in our knowledge to the things that pertain to earth only. We just walk around here, and some people try to get an experience. I heard they're trying to get a spaceship that they're going to take people on these joyrides. Lord, I don't even like a roller coaster. I mean, I don't even like for my feet to get off the ground. I certainly don't want to go into space with the risk of not coming back. You know? So, but they're doing that. They're already starting to do that, and to where you can go if you got big bucks and like all y'all do, and go get a thrill and come back down, maybe. And through telescopes and all these things, we look into the heavens, and they've done that for centuries. Astronomers go back as far as in early Bible days, trying to look into the space, trying to see into that space, and that's between heaven and earth. And so we try to gain more knowledge, but we're limited because we're creatures of earth and not creatures of heaven at this time. And we're not creatures of that space. But I want to talk about a place of getting caught up between heaven and earth. Amen. So just as there is a literal space, there is also a spiritual space where you can get caught up. When they get outside the gravitational pull of the earth, they're caught up. They're just caught up. So what does it really mean to be caught up? Now, a lot of times we do our work and say, well, I'm caught up, you know. But I'm talking about I'm so caught up in it that sometimes I get caught up in things and Jerry says, Marshall, Marshall. And I'm like, Marshall! What? Because I'm caught up. I'm talking about getting caught up in the spirit. You're so caught up. See, when they go up in the rocket ship, they're in what we call encapsulated. They're so encapsulated that they're caught up. They can't get caught up without being encapsulated. Oh, Lord, help us. And you'll never get caught up either without being encapsulated. You'll never get caught up by being on your cell phone talking to your friends. It ain't going to happen. You can't watch the football game and get caught up. It's not going to happen. But I want to teach you how and the reason why you need to get caught up. Somebody says, oh, that stuff scares me. Well, Lord, how are you going to rise one of these days and fly away? You might say, well, I'm going to wait till he comes back to earth, set me up as a king and a priest, huh? So what is this space that's between heaven and earth? We find some scriptures here that'll help us because we need to know what goes on in that space between heaven and earth. But what goes on in the space between heaven and earth is between heaven and earth. You ever told something between me and you? Right? So you convert between me and you? Well, there's things that are going on right now between heaven and earth. That's between heaven and earth. But it affects me. Because that's what it's all about. It's all about you. Everything in heaven and everything in between heaven and earth is about you. It's about the souls of men. So I'd kind of like to tap in to what's going, they're talking about? Okay. I'm going to keep your attention tonight. Because I want to get caught up into that place. Because it's in that place where the operations of the Spirit actually occur. You even look at the gifts of the Spirit that operate in the church. It ain't going to happen unless those people are caught up. They have to be caught up into this place where the Lord speaks to them. And you look at the book of Job, you would find that Job encountered Satan. And Satan works in that space. It's where the spirits work, in the space between heaven and earth. Okay, watch. Job 1 and 6 says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves unto the Lord, and Satan came also among them. When I would do good, Paul said, evil is always present with me. When Eve would have ate the right fruit, the devil showed up. And right when you would do good, here he comes. Because he wants to interfere. I hate people that interfere with things. They're called nosy people. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Where did you come from? Now watch what he says. And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. I live in the air, but I've been walking on the earth, messing with the people on the earth. And the Lord said unto Satan, hath thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? There's nobody like this man. He's a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Have you considered this man? And we don't want to talk about Job. We could talk a lot about that situation. But what I want to show you is Satan was looking for somebody on earth. And he presented himself to God in heaven. And Satan can't do anything without unless God lets him. Did you know that? All powers that be are ordained. I said they're ordained. God allows it. They're ordained. There's no power that exists except what God ordains. And so he said, where you been? He said, well, I've been looking around, you know, for some weak ones down there, some strong ones. I got them all. He said, well, you don't have Job. And this man is a perfect man in his day. So we realize that the spirits contact earth. And that's why you do some of the bad things you do. Even though, oh, I got the Holy Ghost. Okay. Then why? Ephesians 2 and 1 says, and you hath he quickened, made spiritual, who were dead in your trespasses and sins. Quickened means to come alive. You ever cut your nails too short? And he said, boy, they're in a quick. That means they came alive. Because right now, they just, but boy, you cut them too short and you're going, whoo. It's quickened. And it doesn't take but a little tap and I feel it. But right now, I can do that. But if it was quickened, are you with me? Then it's sensitive. So you have he made sensitive. You hath he made alive who were dead, numb, dead to your trespasses and sins. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So what his job is to make you disobedient. That's his whole job. Oh, God, this is so good. He wants to make you disobedient. That's what he did with Eve. All he wanted to do was make her disobedient. She repeated back what the Lord said. Now he said, I'm going to trick her so she'll be disobedient. It's because the Lord hates disobedience. And he knows that. And that's what he wants to do. He said, you were some, but I quickened you so that you know now, make no provision of the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know where that's going, so I'm not going down that road. I've quickened you so that you now don't go down that road. I've made you alive and sensitive to this thing to see where that ends at. That's why you need a spirit. It quickens you. And so those that walk in disobedience are under the influence of Satan. And those that walk in obedience are influenced by the Spirit of God. He said you cannot walk in the flesh and walk in the spirit at the same time. One leg can't do one thing and the other one do the other. When you're walking, you're using both of them. And they both got to be doing the same thing. One leg can't go forward, the other one backwards. It can't happen. You won't go anywhere. So most people do not want to talk about the spirit world. And if you want to raise your finger up and say, excuse me, I don't either, you now would be a good time to exit. Because we're going to go deeper. But it would be wise tonight for you to understand the spirit world, what's happening between here and earth, heaven and earth, like never before. And I'm going to show you why. When we read in Revelation 1 and 10, we see John was the writer of this book. And John, it's called the book of what? Revelation. Why? Because he was in the spirit. Because it's only in the spirit that things are revealed to you. It's only in the spirit that he uncovers the mystery and the hidden riches that he has. So that you cannot uncover them and walk in the flesh. It cannot happen. But in order to be in the spirit, you must tap into the spirit. And so John now is by himself. Like I said, he wasn't on his cell phone texting and all of a sudden the spirit hit him. Oh, the spirit. Oh, I'm in the spirit. No. He was by himself all alone. If you really want to get in the spirit, this is what it's going to take. He said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. My God, and I won't read all this, but man, I floored me. I fell at his face as dead. That's what Daniel did when he was in the Spirit. When you really come into the Spirit of God, you crumble. Somebody said, oh, I was in the Spirit. If when you really get in the Spirit, you don't know who you are. Remember the day? I know the day I got the really got filled with the Holy Ghost. Time didn't mean nothing. People didn't mean nothing. I was only 10, but a job didn't mean nothing. And a girlfriend didn't mean nothing. Because I was in the Spirit. And when you really get in the Spirit, the only thing that matters is the Spirit. And so this is why we need to get caught up in the Spirit, because it brings us to a place of knowing what the Spirit has to say. I can't get you a sermon on the golf course. I can't. I have to be alone. I have to be away from everything to talk to the Lord, and so the Lord can talk to me. I've got to tap into the Spirit of the Lord. So we read in Revelation 4 and 1, I want to know what the Spirit's got to say. After this, he said, I look. Now, John writes to the seven churches. He's not writing to himself or his neighbor, his friend. He's writing to the church. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it was were a trumpet talking with me. It was loud, and it was overcoming and powerful, and said, get caught up. Come up hither, higher. Come up higher. I'm trying to teach and preach to you tonight. Come up higher. Get off the earth. Get out of carnal thinking. Come up higher. Quit thinking about all the tragedies and all the things. Come up higher and see what the Spirit has to say about what you're going through. I've said many times, if rehearsing what you're going through would reverse it, we'd all be out. But rehearsing it never reverses it. But I will show you tonight how to get things in order and understand things better than you ever have. But you cannot get it by these 2 feet carnally staying on the ground. I'm talking about physical. I'm talking about being carnally minded. You must come up higher. And I will shew thee things which must be hereafter. I can't show them to you where you're at. I can't show you why you're going through what you're going through where you're at. Unless you're willing to come up higher, you're going to have to live with what you got and not understand it. Come up higher. And immediately I was in the Spirit. I said, yes, Lord. When he beckoned me to come up higher, I said, take me now. Yes, Lord. And immediately, now he could say, well, Lord, I got a couple things I need to do, and it's gone. You're not listening to me. It's gone. Well, you know, let me answer this. No, it's gone. When God calls you to come up higher, honey, you better lay everything down and come up higher. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Woo, he's viewing heaven. Because when Christ went to heaven, he sat down on that throne. He is now caught up between heaven and earth and viewing heaven with the eyes that came from earth. If you want to get caught up in the Spirit, you have to be willing to ascend from this place to a different place. It's only at the ascension of Christ you will see that he was caught up. At the ascension of Christ, he walked with them as far as Bethany, and then he ascended and was caught up in a cloud out of their sight. John caught up with him. I said, you didn't hear that? John caught up with him. Do you want to catch up with him? Are you scared to catch up with him? You see, when the vision of Isaiah, he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord high. He caught up with him. Woo! if you don't want to get caught up, you're not going to catch up with the Lord. You got to get caught up to see him. It's my belief that in God's design, he wants us to get caught up to this place that's between heaven and earth. I believe God designed it that way for those that are hunger and those that thirst and those that really want to entertain the Spirit. For all those that just, well, I just won't be saved. I just won't barely make it. Well, y'all going to stay down here. Just stay right here. But it's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to live for God. We're going to reach higher and higher and higher. And he says, come up higher. I say, Lord, is there any more? If there's any more, bring me higher. Bring me higher. Till finally he just brings me home. Now listen close. In this place, can I preach this tonight? I'm sorry, I'm wound up. In this place, there are spiritual visions and revelations are clearly seen. Clearly seen. Things you don't understand as long as your carnal mind, you'll never understand it. But he's going to bring you to a place why you see, my, he hadn't even healed you yet. You'll have an understanding why this is going on. And then you'll be okay with it. And I'm going to prove this to you by scripture. Let's look at Ezekiel 8:1. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month. Kind of knew exactly when it happened, didn't he? I know exactly when it happened, March 30th, 1966, too, when I first got caught up. And it ain't been the last time. I can take you to the place, and I can show you, you know, the old song. Yeah. And I sat in mine house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, and the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire. From the appearance of his loins even downward, fire. And from his loins even upward, the appearance of brightness as the color of amber. He was on fire. And he put forth the form of an hand, and he took me up higher. He put forth his hand, and he took me by the lock of mine head. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and heaven. Why is that important? And brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem. The door of the inner gate. Oh, I saw the inside story. Now I've got the inside story. That looketh toward the north. There was a seed of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. And behold, the glory of God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. In other words, what he showed me on earth is in heaven. I now see what he showed. A lot of times you see things on earth, you go, and it don't happen like you think. Well, I'm not real sure that was God. But let me tell you, if he catches you up and you see it in heaven, you know. You know. It was in this place that God opens up revelations to you about the things that's going on in your world. In your world. I mean, you have a world. Don't you have your world? He lets you know what's going on in your world. I remember when John the Baptist baptized Christ. You remember what opened? The windows of heaven. The windows peeled back, the curtain of heaven peeled back, and a voice come down and spoke to Christ and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Why? He fulfilled all righteousness. Why is that important? Don't you want to know how good you're doing before judgment day? I said, don't you want to know how good you're doing before judgment day? Wouldn't you like to tell your students now that you don't do better in this test, you're going to fail for the year? Wouldn't you like to know that somewhere along the way? That's why you give them a report card. So he got this report card that says, you're doing great. When's the last time you got a report card? When's the last time you could truthfully, honestly say, I felt heaven say, you're doing a good job? Because you got to hear him say, well done one of these days. Why can't you do well along the way? My Lord. All right. Let me turn to Paul's account so I don't go too long. This is Paul's account of being caught up. And I want to show you the value. I've already mentioned it, but this will bring it to light, of being caught up, because it changes everything from thinking earthly to thinking spiritually. Our problem is the carnal mind. It's a carnal mind. That's what it is. So we read in 2 Corinthians 12:1, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory, which Paul many times talked about. Well, you want to boast? I could boast. I'm chief among this, and I'm, because he could. But he said, I will come. Look what he says. I want to come, and I've come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Rather than me glory about, hey, God's really using me. Oh, praise the Lord. You need anything, just call me. He said, I'd rather boast about the Lord and tell you what he has revealed to me and he has shown to me in visions. Let me share that with you. He said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Now, many believe that that was, and I have no reason not to believe, this was when he first made his turnaround on the road to Damascus, was 14 years ago. And when the Lord first opened up heaven and said, Paul, Paul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Lord, who are these? He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Why kick against the prick? It's hard to do that. And that was his first real experience with Christ. Now, he's seen Christ. We know that he had. He said he had. But he didn't experience Christ. This was an experience that he had 14 years earlier. Because he doesn't say his name, but we perhaps really know it's him. So he says, whether in the body, I can't tell. Whether out of the body, I don't know. But God knows, such as one was caught up. Now he calls it this third heaven. Okay, so many believe, and I have no reason to believe different. You know, there's heaven on earth. There's heaven in, up there. Then there's a heaven between heaven and earth. And that's where he was caught up. He was caught up to a place between heaven and earth, which is still a place where God exists. Heaven, someone said, where is heaven? It's wherever God's at. If God's in your heart, you have heaven on earth, right? I mean, that's he talks about, we have our conversation in heaven, right? That's what the book says. So we are God's word, and it comes from heaven. So there's heaven on earth. There's the heaven where Christ is, his throne is, and then there's this space between. He said, That's where I was at. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into, now he calls it paradise. But what he's saying, it's a place of splendor. Now remember on the cross, there's three men. Christ is in the middle. And many times people draw their conclusion about salvation based upon the thief on the cross. And say, well, he didn't have a day of Pentecost and all this, you know. But the thief on the cross died under the Old Testament. He died before Christ died. I mean, he died after Christ died before he sent back the Comforter. Okay? But Christ died first. But let's quickly examine that. Here he is on the cross, and he begins to repent. He begins to repent. And he said, I justly get what I'm supposed to get. This man here's done nothing amiss. It's me that's the sinner. And so he got to thinking, you know, he might have a kingdom. He just might have one. I just kind of believe he does. You know, when you don't have anything else to believe, you might as well believe he does. Right? I mean, he has nothing else to believe. He's dying. So he just says, I might as well believe he does. And so he says, now, when you come into your kingdom, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And he looked at him. He said, I'll see you later today. A little bit later today, you can catch up with me. You can catch up with me a little later today. Today, I'll meet you in paradise. I'm going to meet you in a place called paradise. Okay? Now, I don't believe in purgatory. I don't believe you can pray for people that are waiting their soul. I don't believe that. Now, but there is a place between heaven and earth. Okay? Because the judgment day has to come. It has to come. He'll separate the goats and the sheep, and it's going to come. Okay? And so when you look at the rich man in the parable, the rich man who's in hell, he's praying to Lazarus, who is in where? It said the bosom of Abraham. It didn't say up there in heaven, somewhere with Christ. He said in the bosom of Abraham. The bosom of Abraham is faith, and he's resting in faith, but he's at rest. Now, speaking of that real quick, when you think of that, to solidify what I'm telling you, I believe when we finally get to heaven, devil ain't going to bother me no more. It's over. But we can read where when Saul could not find the Spirit of the Lord, not by Urim, not by prophet, nor by, he sought out a witch. Right? He sought out a witch. And he told the witch, he said, call up who I tell you to call up. And she didn't know who it was, but she called up Samuel. Samuel replies to her, says, why hast thou to Saul? He says, Samuel didn't talk to the witch, he talked to Saul. He said, why hast thou disquieted me, seeing that I was at rest? So we know he wasn't in Christ, because in Christ is total rest. So he's at rest, but yet he comes up. And when Saul knows it, when the witch knows it, she screams. Because she realized she's called up a dead man. And Saul was, they had a little quick conversation there. We don't have time to go into it. But my point is this. He wasn't there yet. He wasn't there yet. Because when you get there, it's over. So we find this place now he calls paradise. Adam and Eve was in a place called paradise until they sinned. It's a place where there's no sin. It's a place of separation from sin and sinners. But it's not a final destination. Are you still with me? You still believe in me? Hope so. And so this place Paul witnesses, he said, I witnessed the glory of God. And the most important thing is, he said, I came to visions and to revelations. And stay with me, because this is why it's so important you get there. Because Paul was a man that had been struggling with some things. He's really been struggling. He'd been struggling about this affliction that he's got. He's really been struggling with it. And he's like, Lord, why do I have this? Lord, it's really hindering me. I can't really preach the gospel like I'm preaching. It really slows me down. And Lord, why am I sick all the time with this? That thing just leave me alone. I'll just be such a better Christian. And he's And he's going to get his answer when he gets caught up. See, we've never preached that, how he got his answer. Of such a one will I glory, meaning in Christ. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. Well, that's a switch. I'm glad I'm sick. I'm glad I'm not well. Uh-oh. Sometimes you don't cry out unless you're sick. Have you ever noticed that? For though I would desire to glory, in other words, I'd love to say, Lord, you heal me. I thank God. I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. He said, I'm more than what you see. But I don't need you to know that. I've gone to places you've never gone, but I don't need you to know that. And because if I start telling you that, then you start looking at me different. He said, I don't want you to think of me different, see me different. He said, unless I should be exalted above measure, then I've got a problem. You start exalting me, and then I'll start thinking I'm somebody. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. Where did he get those revelations? Caught up. Abundance of revelations. There was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. Oh, that old messenger of Satan to buffet me, to resist me, what's in my flesh to keep me in subjection, lest I should be exalted above measure. So this is the revelation that Paul will get. He had sought the Lord three times, never got the answer. But when he got caught up, he gets the answer. You want to know why you're going through what you're going through? Get caught up. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Okay, so I'd already fasted and prayed, and I'm going to keep fasting and praying. I'm just going to keep fasting and praying to this. Well, if you get caught up, you might look at things different. Because you can just go the fourth time. I did it three times. But when he gets the revelation, he quits. And he said unto me, this is when I got caught up. See, you can't talk to the Spirit till you get caught up. He said, I got caught up, man. I don't know anybody out of it, but I heard the voice of the Lord. And he said to me, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Which one do you want? You want to be healed, or you want the power of Christ? Now, I'm not talking about you personally. I'm just talking about Paul. Because he got to the place like, I got to get rid of this thing. I can't live for God. I could do so much better job if I just get rid of it. But when he got caught up, the Lord gave him the answer. I said, Paul, I'm the one letting this happen. And there's a reason. Paul said this. He said, I fear lest I preach to others that I be a castaway. How about this? Y'all all be saved and I be lost. It can happen. So he says to this. Here's what the Lord said. Let me read again. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Period. That's all he wrote. So Paul come to a conclusion. He said, okay. Then most gladly therefore. I mean, this is, okay. Therefore will I rather glory in what I wanted him to take away. Now I'm going to be happy about this thing because it gives me the power of God. Sometimes them sicknesses make you pray, when otherwise you may just play. That the power of God may rest upon me. He is saying he revealed to me the reason why I'm going through on earth what I'm going through when I got caught up to meet him in that space. I would never ask for a show of hands, but have you ever been caught up? You need to get caught up. You need to get in that place. Like I said, I'm going to tell you how you're going to do it. You're not going to do it on your cell phone. It's not going to happen. David had it right when he said, I meditate upon the Lord day and night. It's in your meditation time when you come to yourself and go, Lord, there's got to be more to it than this. Lord, show me, reveal to me. And you get caught up in the Spirit. You get into the atmosphere where there's no interferences between you and God. You get rid of the thing that comes to resist you, which is Satan. So he gets this revelation. And I believe tonight, you need a revelation. You need a revelation. We all need revelations. We need to be able to understand. Because, you know, sometimes you say, well, if you just tell me why you don't like me, I'll be okay with it. Just tell me why. You know, even David, when Saul did something against him, he said, what did I do? Just tell me what I did. Why you throw a javelin at me? What did I do? Well, you want to know why you're going through what you're going through? Get caught up. Get caught up, and the Lord will answer these questions for you, because we're not open-minded to God when we're in the carnal flesh. We're not. That's not what you want to hear. You don't want to hear. Well, you just got to live with that, sister. That's not what you want to hear. You go to the doctor and say, well, that's just old age. You got to live with that. That's not what you want to hear. Get caught up. He may tell you the same thing. It's just old age. I'm not talking to you particularly. I'm talking to everybody. But I am talking to you. 2 Corinthians 12 and 10. Now look how he changes. He went from hating this thorn in the flesh. He was so aggravated at it. He's fasting and he's praying and taking it away. Now, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Oh, my. See what happens when you get caught? Really? I was in the Spirit. Really? This is in the Spirit, folks. This is in the Spirit. You start seeing things only through spiritual eyes. Not through carnal and spiritual eyes. Only through spiritual eyes. Therefore, I take pleasure. Now watch what he says. I'll quickly go through it. This is what I'm going to take pleasure in. Okay? You may infirmities, sicknesses and things like this. In reproaches. In necessities. In persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. Now I know I'm doing it for him. He said, all those that follow me shall suffer persecution for my name's sake. A lot of people suffer persecution, excuse me, but they're not. It's not for Christ's sake. It's for their own sake. In distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, this is what I know now, then am I strong. When I am weak, then he puts his strength inside of me and I'm strong. I didn't say I'm well. That's not what he said. He didn't say when I'm sick, then I'm well. What he said was when I am weak, then through him, I am made strong. How can I be strong? Because now I know his grace is sufficient. I can handle it now. I can handle it now. I'm going to quit seeking the Lord for the same thing that now he says, I gave you that so you could be my witness. I gave you that because my grace is sufficient. Now I can handle it. As they come tonight, used to be an old song. I know y'all don't know it. I'm not asking you to sing. Caught up to meet him in the air. Caught up. You remember that old song? For when I am weak, then I see the glory of God. God always weakened people. Then he strengthened them. He chose the weak things to confound the wise. When David put on Saul's armor, he said, no. See, Saul was trying to strengthen him. And the Lord said, no. You got to weaken him. So he chose the weakest one of Jesse's litter to kill the Goliath. Because when he was weak, he was strong. I come to you not with a sword or a spear, not by my strength, but in the name of the Lord. So when I look weak, you better watch out because I'm strong. Mighty is he who depends upon the Lord. My Lord. Thank the Lord. All right, I'm closing. This will be my first closing. I just got to read you this. 1 Timothy 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. He's coming. He's going to meet us in that space. He's going to meet us in that space called caught up. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel. It'll be Michael, not Gabriel. I'll prove that to you later. And with the trump of God. Ooh, I love that little thought right there. The trump of God. Not the trumpet of God, the trump of God. Some of you that, you know, used to play dominoes and cards, and you say, I trump you, you know, I trump you. That means I overpower you. And Christ will be the last trump because he's going to put death under our feet. It's already under his feet, but he's going to put it under our feet. And he's coming with the trump of God, which is Jesus Christ. There's nothing more powerful than than Jesus Christ. He'll overpower the devil. So he's coming with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Woo, hallelujah. Caught up together all at one time. It won't be any delay. Now, brother, don't. If a bunch of people go up and you're still standing there, you're going to stay there. You ain't going nowhere. We're going to be caught up together. We're at a meeting where I've already been caught up to. You're not understanding this. I've already been there. Paul said, I saw things I had to shut my mouth. I couldn't even write them. It wasn't even lawful for me to say. Y'all think I was out of my mind. I'm just going back to where I was already been. Don't know if I was in the body or out of the body, but one of these days I won't be in my body. Which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We're going to take the devil's space. The prince will be kicked out. And we're going to take over. And so shall we ever be in the Spirit. So shall we ever be in the Spirit. I heard a song. I was in an academy the other day and I was playing this country song. It said, everybody wants to go to heaven, but not today. Not today. We're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. Now, here's what he says. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Just tell them, one of these days it's going to get better. Your healing's coming. Them tears are going to dry up. It's all going to be all right. This too shall pass. This is not what we live for. We just passing through. Comfort one another with these words. And quit comparing what you're going through in this life to the life. Paul wrote in another place, he said, now he considers this, these light afflictions that I go through worketh for me an eternal weight in glory. So what I go through here is multiplied in reward. So little I go through here and so great I get up there. Would you stand with me tonight? Hallelujah. Find you a place to get caught up. Hallelujah. You really want to know why you go through what you go through? Find you a place. Let me tell you something about that place real quick. I'm closing the second time. You remember old Jacob? He got caught up too. He had to meet Esau the next day and he said, I am scared out of my mind. I've been running from this guy for years. Lord, I need you. If I ever need you before, I need you now. He said, honey, you stay on this side of Jabbok, the brook, and put his stuff over there. And he said, I'm going to go on this side. I need to be alone. You fixing to get caught up. He said, I just need to be alone, just me and God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I just need to be alone. I'll talk to you later. I'll let you know. I'll be back later. I'll let you know. And while he's over there, guess what? Heaven came down and he went up. And him and the Lord began to wrestle. He said, Lord, I ain't letting you go. I don't understand what's going on. I'm scared for tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen. He said, and I'm not going to let you go. I'm not leaving this space till you bless me. And the Lord changed him in that caught up space. He changed him. What did he dream of? The change. That's what he dreamed, was the ladder going up and down. That's what he dreamed. And now it's being fulfilled. He was caught up to another level. And the Lord changed him there. And now he could face Esau tomorrow. No problem. We'll face Esau. And guess what? It wasn't anything like he thought. Anything like he thought. They hugged each other's neck and blessed each other and traded a few things and said, if you need anything else, let me know. And he had been running all his life. But when he got caught up, the fear went away. The understanding was opened up. And Lord, it don't matter anyway. If he kills me, he kills me. What did Vashti say or Esther say? He said, if I die, I die. For such a time as this, the Lord's called me. Why don't you right there where you're at, raise your hands towards heaven and say, Lord, help me to find that place of being caught up in you. Hallelujah. Encapsulate me, Lord, with your spirit so that I don't even know, Lord, who's around me and not around me. Like the day many years ago that I came to you, Lord. You encapsulated, you brought me to a place, God, with a child that you just encapsulated me. And it didn't matter, Lord, who was around me. It was just me and you, Lord. Bring us all back to that place frequently, Lord, where we're caught up to meet you. And you open to us revelation and understanding of things we go on in here on earth, God. But as long as my feet are planted here on earth in a spiritual sense, Lord, there's too much atmospheric things that goes on that keeps me. But Lord, if I could just be caught up where you're at, then you would open up to me revelations that help me to understand that your grace is sufficient. As they sing tonight, I'd ask you to find you a place in the next week, few days, whatever it is, that you can be alone and talk to the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you really want to get caught up? Are you like, I don't know about this. Brother Baggett, I don't know. Let me tell you something. You're not going to go into a room and say, now, Lord, I got 5 minutes for you to fall on me and open up heaven to me. It's not going to happen. You have to go and say, Lord, I'm here until. What did he do? He told them, tarry how long? Until you be endued with power from on high. You have to go in there mentally telling yourself, I may be in here 3 hours, 4 hours, till tomorrow. I don't know, but I need an answer. And the world don't have it, and my neighbor don't have it, but the Spirit of God has it. So for a while, you keep the kids, if you don't mind. Hold all my phone calls. I'll let you know when I'm ready. And you and God go together. He said, when you enter your closet and pray in secret, the God of secret heareth you and will reward you openly. You know, get caught up in a closet. That'd preach too, wouldn't it? Get caught up in a closet. Lord, I ask you tonight to help us, oh mortal flesh that we are, to realize we're all going to be planted in the earth. But Lord, I read a scripture just a few days ago that said everything that your Father, Heavenly Father, did not plant shall be rooted up. And Lord, I want to be planted with you. And if I'm buried with you, I shall also rise with you. And Lord, help us to realize suffering goes along with it. Paul had to finally realize suffering goes along with it. And when we realize that, God, we look at it different. And we'll take pleasure. When all men speak vile of you, you said rejoice. We've got to look at things different than we've ever looked at them before. And Lord, help this congregation, this church, to be caught up with you in revelation and understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Be careful going home. Continue to pray for these refugees. Amen. Find you a place to get caught up.